Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. I think Drew Nixon's hungover from his 30th birthday. He is not producing the show today.
No,
JT, our former intern, is producing the show today. He's got his Mizzou hockey hoodie is what I would call it. I think that's an accurate way to describe
it. Yeah, it's a hockey hoodie.
Yeah.
I don't watch their hockey.
Yeah, it looks like you're rocking that today. It's a good day for it. Chilly out there early in the morning. Going to end up being pretty nice, actually, later on in the day. But we'll have to find out from Drew tomorrow what the heck happened. He's not here today.
You know,
I think he's hungover.
JT, you should feel very honored. You are the only time we have convinced them to let us have interns. You and Q are the only two interns in this show's history.
Yeah.
Both still work here. Well, Q works over at KMBZ, but both still work in the building. Both still around. A couple of solid interns, you know?
Yeah, we turned out pretty good, I think.
Life lessons were learned.
Right. Life lessons were learned. I learned one thing. I did not want to be on the news side, and I guess Q learned that he liked to be on the news side because that's where he is now. I was like, every time they asked me if I wanted to be on the news side, I said, you know, I'd just rather stay on the sports side.
I don't like the news.
Yeah,
sports
news is just not my
text lines convinced Drew drank three wine coolers yesterday. That's why he's not on the show.
Of all the brazen things he said on the show, the time that he claimed he could outdrink me was easily the most brazen. That's worse than the Augusta one in some way. He thought he was going drink for drink.
He looked like he had a good time, though, for his birthday.
Yeah,
I saw a couple of his posts on Instagram. It looked like he went shopping like he said he wanted to. It looked like there was a selfie in a dressing room, which we can talk about tomorrow. It looked like he was playing Papa Shot late. He had a nice streak going on some Papa Shot. It looked like a Dave & Buster's or something. I don't know if it was a Chuck's Arcade or a Dave & Buster's. And so, happy birthday yesterday to Drew, and he'll be back tomorrow. But we'll give him a hard time for not being here today. That's for sure. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. And also video stream up and running. YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, X. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. That way you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. So we were talking off air yesterday, just looking ahead a little bit. Like, obviously, Commanders, Monday Night Football right here on the station.
Yep.
We don't know if Jaden Daniels is going to play and all that. And we were trying to figure out, all right, when's the next loss actually going to come? Because I heard Bob and Dusty, I think, talking on, maybe it was Monday. Bob doesn't think the Chiefs are losing a game the rest of the year. So I'm like, all right, let's actually dive into this here and look at the schedule. Here are the next couple of games. Basically, When's the next loss if you think there's a next loss coming? Week 8, Commanders. At Buffalo in Week 9. Then a perfectly timed bye week in Week 10.
Honestly, right after Buffalo, but before it's you perfect. Take on your biggest divisional game of the year, the mm-hmm. road game against mm-hmm. Denver.
And then out of yes. the bye, divisional game. We know Andy Reid has a very strong track record post bye week. We'll get into those numbers more specifically when we get there. But at Denver, then the Colts game looks tougher, but it is at home. At Dallas, that's Thanksgiving Day. Dallas's offense is legit. Their defense, we'll see if they make a trade by the time the Chiefs play them. Then the Texans, who are, to me, just not any good. Chargers also at home. At Tennessee, home to the Broncos. And, of course, they wrap it up in a game which seems like it'll actually matter, at least for the Chiefs, to lock up something in Week 18 at the Raiders. Not for the Raiders, but usually I don't think the Chiefs will be having Gardner Minshew start in Week 18 this year.
Well, I guess you could predict that. If they won every game until then, if your prediction was they win every game, that final game might not matter depending on yeah. where they are. Like maybe they already don't have the one seed. Maybe the division's already locked up. Maybe they're kind of locked
Look,
in.
I don't think they're
two or three. I don't think they're running the table either.
I do not think that they are going to just win out. And the way they're playing, I understand the excitement. And this team is a problem for everybody again. And I think there's a chance to defensively, if they make a trade, get a little more depth on the defensive line, they could even improve in that area. But they're going to have a top 10 defense and top 10 offense this year, and maybe a top 5 offense and a top 10 defense, if we're being more specific, by the time the season is over. For me, I'll just go with what has typically happened for this team. And I know it feels like they're about to just roll. I want to see Buffalo out of the bye week first. So for me, Buffalo plays this weekend okay. after not looking too hot against Atlanta their last time out on a Sunday night game, right, where they lost.
Yeah.
And their defense, I think, is a major issue for Buffalo. But did they make any adjustments post bye week? So if Buffalo goes out there and their defense looks a heck of a lot better the next 2 weeks, then my answer might be different. But right now, you know, the Buffalo game, it's hard to imagine that the Chiefs would struggle against Buffalo defensively the way they look, but maybe the Bills clean some things up. The Chiefs typically in the regular season, that's when they lose to Buffalo. They don't lose in the postseason. I'll say at Buffalo, if I had a guess, I think.
So you're only giving it a couple of weeks.
Yeah. But in fairness, I want to see the Bills defense this week. If the Bills defense is still a sieve, then, that to me will not be the game.
Well, that's the thing. It's like if they're coming off a bye week, they have a chance to fix a lot of their problems and issues and what they've been doing just in general. And so you would think they would come out a little bit cleaner. I actually think they're going to get past Buffalo this time. I like them against the Commanders for fairly obvious reasons, I think. Normally, I might answer something like Denver, but they're coming off the bye. Historically, they're very good at those things, Gold. So it's hard for me to imagine there's a world in which they don't complete that win. Not impossible. I'm between at home versus the Colts or at Dallas. I definitely don't think they're getting through at Buffalo, at Denver, at home versus the currently 6-1 Colts, and at Dallas. I don't think they're going through those four games without a loss. And if they are, well, then they are winning out, okay? Like, if they win those next four games after the Commanders game, so 5 more games in a row, well, then I won't be predicting them lose the rest of the way to Texans and Chargers at home, Titans and Raiders on the road, and at home versus the Broncos. I'll definitely think they're winning out if they get there.
Mm-hmm.
My guess, God, do I give them all the way to at Dallas? Because my instinct is to say at home.
But you think they lose on Thanksgiving?
I'm going to say at Dallas. I'm going to say they get through, they rip off 4 more wins in a row before things go south for a game. Short week, Thanksgiving. Dallas is salty. Like I understand
the thought process.
I'm not saying that they're like a world beater of a team. You can lose to teams that are not world beater teams. They can score on you. They can keep up. Defense maybe just has a slightly off day, and Dallas gets some 33-30.
I mean, Dallas's wins. Defense is terrible. I mean,
yeah, but I also think that they're going to trade for whatever the best defensive lineman is.
Well, it's not Max Crosby. You saw that report yesterday.
See that.
The Raiders, and I know just because an organization says we're not trading someone doesn't mean 100% it's never going
to
happen.
But apparently
it seemed pretty strong.
To say it, yeah.
Yeah, Tom Pelissero had the report there that basically the Raiders talked with Max Crosby to let him know that they aren't shopping him and they're not going to trade him. So that seems like that's not going to be the option. As I said, I understand the thought around Dallas. Buffalo's the one I'm keeping an eye on. It still is Josh Allen, but I do want to see how the Bills' defense looks the next 2 weeks before So by the time we get to that game, I don't know, maybe I'll look at the Bills defense and say, nah, the Chiefs aren't going to slip up on that. But it's at Buffalo, whatever reason, the regular season, this is the one opponent where I do think the Chiefs hold stuff back. I know sometimes people overblow that and act like every week the Chiefs are holding stuff back for the playoffs. To me, that's not always the case.
No.
But when they play Buffalo, I do think they intentionally hold stuff back, knowing that they play Buffalo seemingly every postseason these years.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's like, and I think they still view, and we mentioned this yesterday, Buffalo's still their biggest threat come playoff time. So this is still kind of like a litmus test of the things that you've been fixing and that you've been doing better. Are those going to hold? Are they going to stand there for a little bit? Or are you going to run into the same team again? Because here's the thing. If they win this week and the next week lose to Buffalo again, well, then we're right back to the same thing, which is, you know, they're going to have to beat them in the playoff, sure, but also they're not ahead of everyone else, which is what we were talking about there for a little while. Like, maybe they have started to separate themselves from the rest of the AFC playoff field, because that's what it's felt like the last couple of weeks. Lose at Buffalo, and it just feels like you're right back in the same thing. One seed's really hard. You would have had a worse record than Buffalo and lost a head-to-head. Colts could be 3 games ahead of you by then with only one game left against them on the schedule. So that's why I think they're going to get a little bit further than that. I think the desperation is still in. By the time they get to Dallas, I think they'll be a little more comfortable, and maybe you let one slip.
Win total wise, over at FanDuel, over under 11.5 wins. So will they win 12 games? Over 11.5 is +110 right now.
Okay.
Under is -130. And then if you think they can still get to 13 wins, that is 3-1. Remember, they are 4-3 as it sits. So getting to 13 wins is a hell of a run to go on.
That's only one loss the rest of the way.
Yeah, that's a hell of a run to go on. And I don't know if there's any team in the NFL right now I would predict, even the Colts, how hot they are. Is there any team in the league I think that's going to win, what are that, 10 out of their next 11?
I wouldn't predict
it. I guess in the Chiefs, it wouldn't be 10 out of 11. You get what I'm saying.
There's too many flawed teams.
Yeah.
There's way too many flawed. By the way, if you made me bet on a team to do it, I would bet on the Chiefs just because of the way they're currently playing football.
Best quarterback, best coach.
And again, I pointed out, the next 5 weeks, Commanders at Buffalo, bye, at Denver, the Colts, and at Dallas. That's a hard stretch, especially if Jaden Daniels plays. That's a very difficult stretch of football. The last 5 games of the season are starting to look not so bad. The Texans look a little low. I said not so bad.
The Broncos could be a really, really tough game.
But at least the Broncos and the Chargers you'll still have, but you have them both at home.
Yeah.
Titans and Raiders are your only two true road games the final 5 games of the season. Chargers essentially a neutral site, it'd be neutral site on the road. That one isn't home.
Mm-hmm.
So like your only two road games are Titans and Raiders, easiest schedule imaginable for the road. Texans look like a team that probably aren't going to put it together. But I'm just saying, right now,
Chiefs will be favorites in every game the rest of the way, unless they really hit a skid or something. I mean, that's pretty clear. I think at this point, if we were to look ahead lines,
Buffalo,
barring something drastically changes Monday night in how the Chiefs look or a key injury or something like that. I mean, Buffalo, if you're wondering, they get the Panthers this week. So let's see what are the Bills are getting Andy Dalton. All right, if their defense struggles against Andy Dalton and the Carolina Panthers, then my thoughts on the Bills in a couple weeks probably change.
Yeah, I think that's more than
Carolina. Like, Andy Dalton's going to carve you up?
I got to say, they give up, like, even 20 points to Carolina. I'm going to have questions about their defense. You want to talk about another team that has a potential, kind of like Dallas, that I think that they will heavily be in two markets. They are either going to be looking for a defensive lineman, similar to the Chiefs, but I think they'll be shopping in bigger waters because, again, their desperation level has to be significantly higher than Kansas City's because the Chiefs have the rings. And they also will be shopping for wide receivers. The difference is, I can't be sure they'll actually have those guys in 2 weeks when they face Kansas City a week and a half from now. I don't know that they'll actually get the trade done. And if they do, will those guys be incorporated in their offense the way I think Dallas could make a trade and that person could be a member of their roster and a regular player by then?
Someone says, Cody, you think everybody got to eat is losing on Thanksgiving? Not a chance.
Oh, so I should have gone the week before?
Yeah, you thought Thanksgiving, when everybody, EGE.
They should all be standing there with the turkey leg together, EGE, off a piece of the bird for everyone.
Is that game
right?
On Fox or CBS? If it's on
it's
CBS.
Dallas, it's what?
I thought it was CBS.
They don't do it. It's not an automatic thing.
For Cowboys, it's not on Fox?
It's not always automatic
anymore.
It's
Jim Nance and Tony Romo.
Yeah, remember they switched it years and years ago.
I know, I thought for Thanksgiving they maybe held strong.
Years ago, it was always NFC on Fox, and they changed that like 3-4 years ago. But they rotated around. Romo back with his old Cowboys there calling the game, huh? Anyway, point being was usually Fox is the one that did the turkey legs than anyway. We'll see, man. We got some time for that.
The everybody got to eat. If you're looking for a stat for that, Matt McMullen put it out today.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs are the only team in the NFL. They have 7 players with 250 or more scrimmage yards.
Jeez.
Yeah, so Fox game is the Packers Lions.
Okay.
CBS, Chiefs, Cowboys, NBC. What a burner. Bengals, Ravens. Yeah.
Boy, they were on a heater for those first two.
Yeah.
Those first two should have been.
Will Joe Burrow be back?
When they, no, he won't be. Okay. In fairness, when they scheduled it, that looked like that was going to be a really good Thanksgiving night matchup. Anyway, all right, we were talking about trades and what some other teams might do. A name that Nate Taylor brought up to us, hey, you want to check in and see how that left foot of Christian Wilkins is doing? So Christian Wilkins, for those that don't know the backstory, he signed that very, very nice contract with the Las Vegas Raiders. A year and a half ago, came over from Miami, injured with the Raiders last year. He had just 2 sacks due to the injury and 11 tackles, got hurt pretty early in the year. He was rehabbing. Ultimately, there still is a dispute between the NFLPA and the NFL and the Raiders and Wilkins and everybody involved here because they claim that he did not follow the rehab process the way they wanted him to. He also, remember, there was the rumor that was out there, report that he allegedly kissed a teammate on the forehead or the top of the head.
Yep.
There's a lot of rumors out there of what actually happened and everything like that. I don't want to dive too much deeper into it, but he would potentially be available later on in the season as not a trade candidate, as in you just sign the guy off the street, but more importantly, it's about the health of the left foot, and then you can get into the other stuff, whether or not teams are not signing him or whatever.
So I think this is going to be a trade deadline of 2 things that I keep an eye out on, and one is Wilkins, because I do think that that's a Chiefs-like move in the sense that he's getting offset language in his contract, so anything you pay him, he's getting paid by the Raiders one way or the other. All the reporting before this season was look for week 7 or 8 for Wilkins to be available after his foot. This is the one thing.
I don't know if he's getting paid no matter what anyway. I mean, remember, that's the whole dispute with
the
NFLPA.
Like, well, they don't know. They're in the middle of the dispute. You're right, in fairness. But he has offset language in the sense that whether he's being paid by the Raiders or not, you would think he would want a slightly bigger check. But if I were Kansas City, would I ask him how his foot is? Yeah, sure. I'd find out how it feels. He is a player at the biggest position of need who you'd have to give up 0 draft pick compensation for. What about that is not appealing?
Mm-hmm.
It's just money? Okay, well, then we'll figure out the money. That part makes it a challenge, other than the fact that you mentioned. Is there a hang-up in the sense that is he going to want someone to offer him a bigger offset of that Raiders deal on the off chance they really do win this fight? And only he knows, Gold, whether or not he followed or listened to the Raiders' advice in this. I will say, his foot's obviously injured. People were saying he wasn't going to be available to around this time or a little bit later in the season, and he's not available.
I mean, if there's any locker room that can take a chance, and you know, whether it's
right
quote,
now,
quote, you know, quote unquote, yes, character issues or whatever is exactly going on, it would be the Chiefs organization, also a contender. I think a lot of people wonder though, is he even healthy enough to contribute? But it's something to me they should absolutely explore a little bit later on in November. This is probably one of those even past the trade deadline, because again, this is not a trade scenario. This could be one of those where Cody around Thanksgiving, you end up signing him, and he's there for the final 4 weeks of the regular season and a playoff push. I don't know if that's actually going to be something that happens in the next like 3 weeks. Or it, to me, feels like more of a Thanksgiving and later type of, hey, what check in? Is the foot healthy? Bring him in for a workout.
I mean, before I get to the trade deadline.
And our team's willing to sign him. I mean, there's a lot of speculation about that. So I don't know. He's definitely a name to keep an eye on.
They have not ever shied away. I mean, just as a reminder, they brought Kareem Hunt back from this team, a player who they had cut from their own team after he lied to the team about this other stuff, and seemingly has gone pretty smooth.
Mm-hmm.
He's the 3rd most effective short yardage back in the NFL. It's the pair of Christians that I'm interested in, because the other part of this that intrigues me is they just activated another corner onto their 53-man roster in Kevin Knowles. Christian Fulton already isn't active on game days as a healthy scratch. Are they trading Christian Fulton? I'll be honest. If you ask me, should they? The answer is yes. They have the corner depth in the system. This signing clearly isn't a fit. Like, let's just be honest about it. Right now, it's not a fit. Either between the injuries or the way he learned the defense. Andy Reid at one point, when he was talking about it, he said he doesn't know the defense and he's hurt. Like, he openly said that essentially about Fulton at some point in training camp, and so, or at the early part of the season. And so if it's just not a fit, a bunch of teams look for corners in the trade deadline. It is a very acquirable contract, and it would give you the money to either take on the contract for a defensive lineman you trade for, or if you signed a guy like Wilkins, would give you the money to pay him part of the money you need. So, like, I kind of feel like they're setting the stage for trading Christian Fulton.
Maybe. I think they like having depth, though. I know you say he's not playing, but like all of a sudden you trade away a corner, so then you have a corner go down, and then you're saying, oh my gosh, we have no depth there. I think Josh Williams is another name to keep an eye on. He's not getting on the field all that much. What was his snap count over the last couple of weeks? So Fulton's been inactive. Josh Williams hasn't been on the field all that much. I think those are two names to keep an eye on if you're in a position where you don't want to give up draft capital to go acquire rotational player, where you say, all right, we can trade somebody, get a fifth, what's called a fifth round pick, fourth round pick max out of somebody like that, and you use that asset to go make another move to get a rotational offensive player.
I understand the depth, because like, even if you sit on a guy for 14 weeks, imagine where they'd be without Jalen Moore, right?
Yeah, I would
like,
get a little nervous.
I understand that part of it, but it just feels like they're kind of setting the stage for it.
They signed Christian Fulton for a reason. They thought he would be a good fit for this football team, and he has not been healthy / not practicing, and who knows right now. Noah Williams' development, I think, has also caused them not to be in any rush to get to Christian Fulton. So you feel like right now this is the healthiest team in football, but it's week 15 all of a sudden, and Jalen Watson, who's unfortunately had a little bit of an injury history, all of a sudden, let's say he is banged up, and you know, then Noah Williams is banged up, and then you're like, uh-oh. Then you're having to sign someone off the practice squad again or something like that. So you're not in a financial spot where if Christian Fulton, you tell me he's inactive for 8 more weeks in a row, where it's really changing all that much, though.
I get it. I'm not saying that there's like a huge trade haul for him. It just feels like let's just say you're in a position where you're like, we really don't want to lose too many of our assets for next year's draft. We don't want to go overboard in the trade market. We really like the roster. You can essentially swap Fulton for a bigger need.
Is there anybody they're going to acquire at the deadline, realistically, that's going to cause you to give up significant assets?
No, not likely. Jalen Phillips would be the answer, but I don't think they're going to be swimming
in those
waters.
We're talking no better than a fourth-round pick.
But I don't have to give up a fourth. I can just give up Fulton. Yeah. And my depth on the defensive line is awful right now. They obviously like Kevin Knowles enough to say he is depth on the 53-man roster. They just promoted him. And so, like, between Williams, who's barely playing anyway but at least active, Knowles, who they just put on the 53-man roster but would be an inactive on game days, I think they're signaling that they like depth at that position still. I don't think Christian Fulton is their only depth. We view it on the outside as better depth because they paid him. What I'm saying is internally, they might not feel about it that way because of the way that they've mostly handled him since he's been signed.
It's always the other flip side of it. As much as we're saying, like, oh, you'd be willing to trade this guy or whatever. Well, then who's trained for Christian Fulton if there's actual concerns that he's not available?
I don't even know if it's an availability thing because he is healthy. I think now it's just the Chiefs. He's not a fit for the Chiefs. And players like that get traded. Players who aren't participating large in somebody else's offense or defense.
$13 million next year, by the way, Christian Fulton.
It's a full cut, though, option, right?
Like $8 million dead cap.
A little higher than I thought.
At least according to SpotTrack. We always base this off of that. So
typically the acquiring team would be on the hook for less of that dead cap, maybe half of it or so.
$15 million guaranteed. Signing bonus plus this year compensation plus $5 million of his 2026 salary.
It's just one of those positions that people often need. That's all I'm saying. So like I wouldn't rule it.
I love the $250,000 Pro Bowl incentive that worked into that contract.
I don't think he's getting that one.
I don't think so. I don't think so either.
Seems unlikely.
Coming up in 10 minutes, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, going to join us. We'll ask him about the rest of the NFL a little bit. And maybe if he thinks some of these trade possibilities are out there for any of the contenders to go make a move. Last night, though, NBA returned. I don't know if either of you guys caught any of that. It was awesome to hear the old school NBA theme. They also had the AI version of what's his name doing like the, and tonight's game features the, you know, Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets. It's an AI version because that individual, I can't, his name is surpassing me right now. He's an AI version, right?
Yeah.
He's passed away.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little weird, but it also sounded kind of cool.
Just
clearly his family must have his estate. I bet you they said, all right, we'll take the check.
Find a real person who can just do.
They want the old school feel. It felt big. I will say that. Like the broadcast felt big last night. Mike Tirico on the call, Reggie Miller. The NBC does a great job with production. They do it for Sunday Night Football. It felt like they brought that exact same thing.
Feels like I'm going to watch some NBA weeknight games on NBC.
Yeah, I'm more likely to watch the NBA on a weekly basis, non-playoff time, if it's on NBC. And I think NBC is just Tuesday night, right? And then Peacock has a few nights. Prime does the Friday night games. ESPN will still do the random other nights. Like tonight, I think one of the games is on ESPN. I'm more likely to watch it. It felt big. I thought they did a great job with it. The one question I have is Michael Jordan, who we were all excited to see be part of these broadcasts, at halftime they had his interview. And I watched the whole thing, and he told this story about, he was asked by Mike Tirico, when's the last time
he hasn't touched a basketball in 2 years?
You shot a basketball or whatever? And he's like, it's been a very long time. And he said the last time he shot it was he rented some house at the Ryder Cup, and the owner of the house had his grandkids there or whatever. It was like, shoot a free throw. And he said it was the most nervous he's been in years. Now, some people are saying he's lying. I have no idea. It was a great story.
I don't think he's not touched a basketball in 2 years.
It's a great story. That story's great, though. Anyway, and I enjoyed it. It was 3.5 minutes. And then the way they promoted it, it sounds like all they did is film a long hour or 2 hour interview, and then they're just going to give us 3 minute chunks at halftime every Tuesday.
Lame.
That's going to get old pretty quick.
I wanted him sitting in the studio.
Well, I don't know if that was ever going to happen.
I wanted him sitting in the studio for a few minutes being like, I don't know what SGA was doing on that drive.
Well, that's what we all want.
I wanted real analysis.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get that.
Not fireside chats with Michael Jordan every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's way less good than they pitched it as.
They teased it like, next week, Michael Jordan's thoughts on load management. Like, okay, I'm curious to see what he has to say, but... Yeah, I was hoping that he's never going to be in studio. I mean, I just don't think Michael Jordan, I mean, who doesn't really do interviews and stuff like that to begin with, so this is pretty unique. But I'm with you where by the time we get to January, I don't want to just hear like the overarching topics of the NBA every week.
Michael Jordan's top 10 power forwards in basketball. Like, I want him to give actual game analysis with a little bit of that, like, I'm Michael Jordan, I'm better than all of you at all of this.
But,
kind of snark.
It was still cool to hear from him, and I thought NBC did a great job last night. Also, a hell of a game to open up their coverage this season. Double overtime win for the Thunder on the night where they raised the banner.
Yeah, pretty
sick. Kevin Durant basically pulled a Chris Webber, but the officials didn't give him the timeout. He got fortunate, very fortunate. See, it turns out officiating's bad in every sport. He clearly called a timeout with no timeouts left. They didn't award it to him, so he didn't get a technical foul or whatever.
Correct. So he got off easy, all things considered. Although I got to say, I don't know, man, that Durant thing in that combination of guys there in Houston might make them a bit salty. I also saw Luka in a loss put up 43.
Yeah, no LeBron.
So we'll see what version of their team.
The Rockets are going to be very good, but they're, Fred VanVleet has got that serious injury. Is he out the whole year, or at least most of the season, I think? So
yeah,
that's a big
chunk.
Deal. All right, up next, back to the NFL. Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, joins us. We'll ask him about the potential trade targets for the Chiefs and the Colts sitting there at 6-1. Should we be giving them even more credit? Next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
If your eyes are the windows to your soul, and your glasses are the windows to your eyes, then it's pretty important to find your perfect frames. That's why at Warby Parker, we've made shopping for eyewear as easy and fun as can be. Peruse endless styles in our stores or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. To find your next favorite pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to locate your nearest Warby Parker store, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
They load the right side up again. They single the near side. Caught Rice. Touchdown, Kansas City. Rashi Rice, his second touchdown. And is he back, baby? The Chiefs go on a 16-play, 94-yard drive. Three drives, three long touchdown drives.
Mitch Holthus on the call right here on your home for the Chiefs. 96.5, the Fan. And the Chiefs, of course, put up 31 on Sunday afternoon against the Las Vegas Raiders. Get set for the Commanders on Monday Night Football here at Arrowhead. And we go out to the hotline and welcome in our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Rashi Rice is back. Ross, this offense looks like it's as dangerous as it's been in 3+ years.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, that was super impressive. At one point, I think the Chiefs had 29 first downs and the Raiders had two.
Yep.
Which I'm not sure I've ever seen before an NFL game. And I think I posted that on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. I mean, that was one of the craziest stats I think I've ever seen. You know, I told you guys this last week that my Even Money Betting Podcast co-host Steve Fezzik thinks the Chiefs are the best team. This week he said that he has them 2.5 points better than any other team, which is kind of a crazy thing to say about a team that, you know, has three losses already this year. But, you know, he goes by what the underlying metrics say and what he's seeing. And, you know, he feels like they look like the Tyreek Hill Chiefs. And they certainly look very, very dangerous and formidable, really, in the game against the Raiders on both sides of the ball, but certainly over the last few weeks on offense.
And they peeled, you know, they certainly took their foot off the gas, to say the least, in that game as well. I mean, I think they could have put up 45.
Well, that's the thing. I think it was smart that they didn't save those points for another game, but it really is funny how the NFL works. As you can go from, you know, concerns about this team and this team can't move it, but then they make a couple changes or tweaks, they get a guy back or two, and then it just kind of works. It just kind of clicks. You know, you wouldn't think one guy, or even one and a half guys, we could call it, you know, would make this much of a difference. But for this Chiefs offense, you know, getting Worthy back and adding Rashi Rice, it certainly feels like that's just kind of opened everything up for them.
For the teams around them, obviously it's been Buffalo and the Ravens for all of 5 years. Cincinnati sprinkles into the conversation when they get a healthy Joe Burrow, isn't a part of the conversation when he's not. So for it being the same, how serious should we be taking the other ones? Denver, the Colts, the teams who do have winning records right now, outside of Buffalo, we'll get to them in a minute. Which of those teams do you take serious as like an actual threat for Kansas City?
Well, so I would say the biggest threat right now is the Indianapolis Colts. They are really, really good. And I know because they haven't been good in a while, nobody really believes that. And I know because Daniel Jones is their quarterback, nobody really believes that. And those are both fair. But at some point, it's a big enough sample size that we got to go by what we're seeing this year. And what we're seeing this year is that they are awfully, awfully good. I saw some stat, don't quote me on it, because I'm not doing a Colts game this week. I'm actually on my way to the airport to do the Chargers and the Vikings tomorrow night for Westwood One on the radio. But the Colts have scored 3.6 points per drive so far this season. The entire season, 3.6 points. That's the best in over 20 years. So I don't care who you're playing or how you're going about it. If you're averaging over a field goal per drive, that is super, super impressive.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. You mentioned the Chargers, Thursday Night Football. They're going to host the Vikings. We just saw them take on the Colts, and I know you're getting set for that broadcast tomorrow. Where are you at on L.A. right now? I mean, I know they got all the injuries. I think that is a huge chunk of this, but we've seen, you know, also I think Justin Herbert's play, you know, go down a little bit, some bad decisions in the red zone against the Colts. Are the Chargers a team that you still think can get this thing corrected and be a factor in the AFC, or is this a game tomorrow night where you're like, hey, they have to find a way to beat the Vikings, otherwise this could be kind of a similar Chargers season, what we typically see over the last 5 or 6 years?
I think that's what it's going to be. I think that they'll continue to be on a roller coaster. I think that they'll win, you know, 10 games, let's call it, 10-7, get to the playoffs. And I guess theoretically in the playoffs, you know, Herbert could really play very well. And because of that, you know, they could come out and have a great game and, you know, they could beat anybody in the playoffs. But it's kind of hard to watch them, or him for that matter, and feel like, okay, this is a team that's capable of winning 3 playoff games in a row, or 4 if you include the Super Bowl. I just think that that seems unlikely. Now, in fairness, they might get Joe Alt and Trey Pipkins, their 2 offensive tackles, back, you know, tomorrow night. They're going to get Khalil Mack back at some point. So as they get more of these guys back in the fold, that would seem to be give them a better chance to be more competitive. But right now, you know, they lost both their running backs. Their O-line, no quarterback in the NFL has been hit more than Justin Herbert. And that just should not be the case. But when you lose both your offensive tackles, who are both really good players, you lose both your running backs, their offense is basically Justin Herbert drop back and be a hero. And he's done it pretty well, I would say. But maybe not, you know, maybe he's not capable of doing it enough.
On the other side of the AFC, we'd mentioned Buffalo before. I wanted to exclude them for a minute, just knowing, you know, history-wise says they're good. Their 4 wins are against Baltimore, New York, Miami, and New Orleans. I don't know how many combined wins those 4 teams have, but it's not a lot. They lost back-to-back games against New England and Atlanta. How much of a, I don't know, litmus test is at Carolina for them? Are you as high on them as you've been in previous years? What are your thoughts on Buffalo?
Well, so they obviously have the ability and the pedigree to win a bunch of games, but they're in a dogfight now, even just in their own division, with the way Drake May and the New England Patriots are playing. I do think Carolina is a litmus test. I mean, they found a way somehow to win 4 games, which is
impressive.
Wild. I think if you ask people walking around in Kansas City how many wins the Carolina Panthers had, They would not say 4 right now, but that is the case. And I think you just need to see the Bills come out and play better, both sides of the ball. Now, they're getting some reinforcements on the D-line. Michael Hoyt and Ogunjobi were both suspended 6 games under the performance-enhancing drug policy. So they're getting some guys back, and I would think that the bye probably was good for them and that they'll come out and be better on both sides of the ball. I actually expect them to really handle the Carolina Panthers, but if they don't, then panic will start to set in.
I did look it up. The Bills' wins are against teams currently a combined 3-24. Those are their four wins.
Yeah, I mean, that's not good. But you can't help who you play.
Sure.
But they could have. They weren't even that dominant in those games is the problem.
I want to get your perspective. You've been around the NFL for a long time, Ross. The situation here in Kansas City, I don't know how much nationally it's been discussed and how much you're in tune with the Josh Simmons situation where he now has missed two games for this team. It certainly feels like he's likely not going to be back for the game against the Commanders. They have not placed him on the NFI list. The team is really not discussing much of what is going on or a potential timeline. I think everybody has a somewhat of a potential idea of maybe what the issue is. Do you believe, let's say he comes back in 3 weeks, do you believe he just gets the starting job back right away? Or is Jalen Moore, who's playing decent right now, who was signed to a pretty nice contract, a guy you think would hold on to the job?
Well, that's a really good question. And I think coaches are very, very hesitant to mess with what's working. You know, I can tell you three times in my career, I didn't start the opener, but then a guy got hurt or wasn't playing well or whatever. I went in and we started to play better. And because of that, you know, they ended up keeping me in there even when that guy came back to health. You know, that certainly happened in 04. It happened in 03. It happened in 02. You know, 3 years in a row because, you know, I'm not even saying I was playing that great necessarily, but the team was. And they didn't want to mess with that. And because they didn't want to mess with that, we ended up sticking with me in there. And I think that would be the case. I think, you know, especially the longer and the more time he misses and the longer and the better Jalen Moore plays, you know, the greater the chance that they're going to just leave Moore in there, but then have Simmons available really in a moment's notice should something happen with Jalen Moore where he's not playing as well.
Or if, like, I guess the play dipped enough that there was a justification for it. I mean, those are really the only – because we're starting to look at it as, like, he would be next year's starter, and then it just adds this whole cloud of where is their offensive line going into this, and that still requires Simmons to make it back with the team here in some fashion this year.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably going a little bit too far, I would say, at this point. But, again, I don't know what Josh is dealing with. I do know this. The Chiefs would probably love if Jalen Moore really plays that well to move on from Juwan Taylor after this year and have the tackles be Jalen Moore
for sure
and Josh Simmons.
No question about that. I know you said you're headed to the airport because you're getting ready to call the Chargers game and head out. So what's the playlist on the airplane? Are you a podcast guy? Or are you just a Swiftie and going all Taylor Swift? What's on the docket?
That's a great question. You know what's funny? I really envy people, I guess, that watch a movie or TV or are like playing like a video game on a plane. Guys, I got to tell you, I'm like I'm full throttle, right? Like, so I will be rewatching the Chargers game.
Okay.
I'll be going through all kinds of notes for Chargers as well as the Titans. I've got other business interests I need to take care of. If I, you know, it's a long flight from Philly to L.A. So if anything, I might actually be able to work ahead on Air Force and Army next week because they both have buys this week. But you know what? I probably can listen to some music while I'm watching Air Force and Army if I get to that point because I don't need the audio for those games. I'm watching the college coaching tape. So it might be Taylor's new album. That's certainly a possibility. I saw Old Dominion a couple times recently, so it might be those guys. Or I might just go to, like, my liked yacht rock songs from
okay.
the summer.
Okay.
You know, like Christopher Cross, like, sailing, take me away. You know, I'm the world's worst singer, but I want to meet you guys, like stuff like that, like mellow, relaxing for this flight.
At first, when you were saying you were full throttle, I thought you were doing, like, high knees like Russell Wilson in the aisle around people.
Yeah. No, I'm not like that. I'm full throttle on doing
studying,
being as productive as I possibly can with that time. So when I land in LA, I can have a good meal. I can maybe meet up with somebody. You know, I try to get the work done when I have time to do work. So then other times when I'm with my family or when I like land somewhere, I don't have to do work, if that makes sense.
That's smart. I get it. I appreciate it, Ross. We'll be keeping an eye on tomorrow night, obviously, and we'll check in next week.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
There you go. That's Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider Carl's brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Makes sense, man. That is a long flight.
Yeah,
Philly to
that's
LA.
A lengthy one.
What was that, 5.5, 6? Got to be. I mean, it's three for us, probably. 3.5 for
yeah,
us, easily.
So I would think, yeah,
I mean,
five
here,
or
to,
six
here
hours.
To Vegas is like 2 hours and 50, something
so,
like that.
So probably something in that range.
Ooh. That's where I will say, like, is my. For being Kansas City, if you're trying to travel anywhere, West Coast, like you, we are lucky in terms of
it's only like
trying,
3 hours.
It's never going to be much more than three and a half if you're staying in the continental United
States. It's a lot like driving in Kansas City, where like nothing's more than 30 minutes. Like, you know, you don't really have to extend outside that range very often. 30 minutes and you can get to most parts
he's
of the
watching,
city.
He's watching film, getting ready for his broadcast, man. He does all those Westwood One Thursday night games.
He keeps himself busy. There's no doubt about it. You had asked him, and I think it's a very fair question about Josh Simmons. Again, let's take out the what's actually happening part of it. Let's talk football for a minute. Let's just call it 2 weeks, if I'm giving a conservative timeline, as in it already feels like, and Nate Taylor and others already believe, he's probably out for Monday. We'll know more tomorrow whether or not. If he doesn't practice tomorrow, then you can just put it in stone. He's not playing on Monday. But let's say it's 2 more weeks before he returns. So by that time, it would have been 5 full games he missed, or 4 full games he missed as a member of the Chiefs. I don't think he can just come back and be the starter. I think you have to give that time. Certainly not before the bye week. And would you want to reconfigure the offensive line right before you face Denver and Nick Bonino and some of these other ones? I feel like it would be a, hey, let's earn a little trust between each other again. Let's see how things go a little bit between each other again. And if Jalen Moore's not screwing it up, there's a chance I think Simmons comes back and he's just not the starter again at all this year.
Right, that's a possibility. A lot of it is going to be dependent on how Jalen Moore continues to perform. And if they feel like there's a significant upgrade that they could have, because you're still trying to play the best 53, or not the best 53, you got to say the best 11 out on the field. And so that is something to keep in mind. But I do believe, based off of the length of time that he potentially can miss, then yeah, I think it's very real that he could potentially not play until an injury happens again this season. That doesn't mean long-term he's not the long-term left tackle for this team. That's not what you're saying either.
No. Josh Simmons
is the long-term answer still at left tackle. In all likelihood, Jalen Moore is, at what Ross was saying, could be the right tackle for Juwan Taylor next year if they move on from Juwan Taylor. And that is an off-season conversation. But the longer you're out at any position outside of the quarterback, really, and there's been quarterbacks that have gotten, you know, Wally Pipped, if you will. But usually the quarterback's the only position where you would say, no, it's your job no matter what. When you come back, you're healthy. It's your job. There's exceptions, as always. But left tackle, Jalen Moore, the amount of money he's making as well, if he continues to play well, then Josh Simmons, whether he comes back in 2 weeks or 6 weeks, I think it'll be in a reserve role.
I think so too, which is, I guess, what makes his situation not less worthy of discussing, because I do still think it's interesting that your first-round pick and starting left tackle is still AWOL from the team, and you're not exactly sure what kind of timeline for his return. Plus, Cole, I do still want the depth. So, like, even if he is in a reserve role, he is still an important player, even if he's not starting every week, for the obvious reasons. What if Jalen Moore becomes exposed because he's a full-time starter and that's not a job he's ever had? What if there's an injury and you have to go to Wanya? You'd much rather have Simmons, obviously, in reserve in that situation. And for the long-term importance of that player, I'd like him back in the building, coming to work every week, and, like, you know, like, showing the kind of, like, okay, he's going to be here for the long haul. He's going to be here year 2, 3, and 4, so that you know that you're safe and reliable. Because the play, I'll be honest, I saw enough, even in the short window of time in his play, to think, well, that's a long-term left tackle.
Yeah, Josh Simmons is an all-pro potential. Yeah. Potential all-pro left tackle if everything is right and he's out on the field. And so That's the, you know, on the football side of things is the unfortunate part of it as well.
Yeah, and we're still just waiting to find Jaylen out
Moore
when he's going to come back.
Has been pretty good filling in. And if he continues to play at that level, then, yeah, I don't think they would just automatically make a switch. But it's so hard. You know, it's starting to get to – it'll be three games on Monday. So you're starting to get to a point where it's a very fair conversation. It's not just a one-off anymore.
I think that's the line, like genuinely. If you're not back by game four, that's when I think this conversation we're having is true.
But they haven't put him on the NFI list. Now, there's a lot of reasons why maybe they haven't done that. One could be they think he's going to be back sooner rather than later, which definitely. I hope is the case, right, for him and for the team. There's also the optics of that, which ensures he misses four more games. And so then, you know, at that point, you have to answer some more.
Address it.
You know, you can't put someone on the NFI list and then still say nothing is going on. You know,
yeah, I agree.
You know, that
and
makes,
then that might be Brett Veach actually is available to speak
right.
about.
And maybe you don't want to go that.
Avoid that. Yeah.
As we mentioned yesterday, when Eric Berry had his situation, and I'm not saying they're the same, but when he obviously did not play for a long period of time and then they basically begged him to come back. He was never on the NFI list. So it's not a guarantee. Just if they put him on the NFI list, at least you would know, all right, he's out for four more games. They probably don't have a real timeline yet. So,
I think that's probably true. Know, that's so why they haven't placed him on the
list.
But they're only one offensive line injury away to having no choice. Like at some point, the roster crunch is a very real thing. You have a couple of inactives every week. Typically, it's one of the offensive linemen. So for now, it can be Simmons based on this. But you don't normally run an entire season operating with a 52-man roster, not a 53.
Correct.
Like, and so at some point, you would think that they'd be making those kinds of decisions, and we don't know whether or not they're going to do that. But yeah, I think it's like one more week. I think if he's not back against Buffalo Gold, then what we're saying will happen in the sense that when he does come back, and I still think he will, when he does come back, that he will not be the starting left tackle for the Chiefs. He will instead be in a backup role, at least for the time being.
Sports Talk on 96.5 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Up next, some deeper dive on the numbers related to big play offense and how the Chiefs continue to trend in that direction. And we had a little beef going on from a few years ago. I thought it was over, but it's back. And it's a fun
like
one. We'll explain what that is next.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.